Hello, friends. Welcome to the podcast for April 27th, 2017. I'm Paul White, and this is the Deeper Daily Podcast brought to you every day. I hope you'll tell a friend, pass this along via social media, send it to someone, give them the link, tell them all about our study through the book of Romans. Maybe they can join in the what I think is a fantastic journey, and believe it or not, we're not even halfway there. There's 16 chapters in the book of Romans. We just went into the 8th chapter, and we started this journey in the middle of October 2016, so we are certainly breaking no records as far as speed, but I'm having a good time, particularly with this first verse of Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. The last couple of days, we've dealt with all kinds of things. Over the last three or four podcasts, we've dealt with the transition out of 7:25 into Romans 8:1. We dealt with the interpolated passage at the end of Romans 8:1. We dealt with the Greek structure of the word condemnation, what it means. Now today, in what is probably my favorite thing to do in this passage, I want to deal with Jesus's usage and then what Jesus does with this whole concept of condemnation. In John chapter 8, we have the famous story of the woman caught in the very act of adultery. I think most of my audience knows that story. If you don't, I encourage you to go read the first 11 verses of the 8th chapter of John. But it's the story that deals with this idea of condemnation versus no condemnation. There's the assembled crowd who are ready to stone the woman for breaking the Mosaic law against adultery, and they bring her to Jesus really with a question meant to entrap him, because if he declares that they should stone her, then he is basically violating the Roman law, because Romans reserved to themselves the death penalty in any land that they occupied. They did not give the former rulers of that occupied land the ability to declare the capital punishment. They had to do it. So if Jesus declares it, then that's a breach of Roman law. And if he says, don't stone her, then he could be accused of ignoring the Mosaic law. So what does he do? He's sort of in a difficult spot. So how does Christ handle this? Well, we know what happens. He without sin among you cast the first stone. They drop their rocks. What we might miss is the language. Jesus says to the woman, "Woman, where are your accusers? Is there any man that condemns you?" And he uses the phrase katakrina. Does any man condemn you? The verb form of it, while in Romans 8:1, we get the noun form of it, katakrimo, condemnation, but condemn. Woman, does any man condemn you? And the woman says, none, Lord. And Jesus said, well, then neither do I katakrimo you, neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more. And it's the same language that Paul will use when declaring that the believer doesn't have condemnation in their life. Now, I'm going to approach this from a couple of different angles. Number one, notice that Jesus clears the room, and that's not right, I know. It's not a room, but you get it's a metaphor. Jesus clears the room of accusers before setting the woman free into the area of no condemnation. And I think this is a foreshadow of what he's going to do on the cross. You see, Christ must free us from the voice of accusation so that we are not always condemned. Colossians says that Christ took that which was in our way and nailed it to his cross and triumphed over principalities and powers with it. In other words, he took the law which was in the way of mankind and he nailed it to the cross, triumphing over the enemy, because now the enemy had nothing by which to accuse God's people. And so by removing the accusation, he could remove the condemnation. Many people are not free from condemnation because they've never had the voice of the accuser silenced. They've never had the accusation stopped. As long as the accusation keeps coming at them, condemnation keeps coming at them. This is what's wrong with hearing performance-based teaching and preaching and singing and whatever, because as long as you are under performance, you're going to fail, and thus you can be accused. If you can be accused, by default, you'll be condemned. So it's important that in order to release the woman from condemnation, he has to make sure there's no one accusing her of anything. So when he says, "Woman, where are your accusers?" let's not miss that question on our way to "Neither do I condemn thee." Because if we do, we've went too fast. We need to remove the room of the accuser. In Revelation 12, we have Jesus, or we have the story of Michael the archangel fighting with that dragon, the serpent in heaven. And he's cast out, and the Bible says he was the accuser. He had accused the brethren night and day. And so what Revelation is telling us is that the cosmic battle that has happened has removed our accuser from standing in front of God. If there's no accuser standing in front of the Father, then how can you be condemned? Now, that's one angle to take. Let's take the other angle as well. And I want to get into it briefly because we've went a ways today into the podcast. But then I want to get into it really deep in the next several days because it's where we're going. Back to Romans 8:1. There's now therefore no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. Look at Romans 8:3, the end of the verse. God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. He katakrimo. So Romans 8:3 gives the counterpoint. Why are we not condemned? Neither do I condemn thee. Why? There's no accusation. Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Why? Because they're in Christ. Well, okay, what's that mean? Christ had sin condemned in his flesh. All sin for all time condemned in the body of Jesus. Therefore, if you're in Christ, how can you be condemned for sin when your sin has been condemned in the body of Jesus? The connection is inescapable. For those who are in Christ, they recognize that there has already been a condemnation against their sin, and there can't be a condemnation twice against their sin. This would be double jeopardy. We cannot have our sins taken care of once and then have our sins taken care of again. So I think you can tell why I only want to briefly talk about that issue is because we're going to hit it in full in verse 3, which we're going to be at in just a few days. And we'll make that transition into 2 tomorrow. Hope you have a great day. What a fun time this has been. Hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. God bless.